Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's a theme song for Moving the Chains podcast. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and everything. This is the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink in Charlotte, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Danielle, it's the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? Man, oh, man, there's a lot to talk about, and I hate your Giants.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Mark, and thank you. I'm actually happy you hate my Giants because I really didn't know if they were going to pull this one off. I'll be 100%. But I'm happy for Tommy DeVito because everybody was getting on him so much that, you know, it was nice to see the little Italian guy kind of do it. I was happy for him, but everybody can get a hold of me, and people have been getting a hold of me on Instagram at birthsofthefay_novel. And before we jump into things, I'd like to answer some questions because I got a couple DMs this week, and people wanted to know because after we ended last Friday, some news broke over this week, and people kind of slid into the DMs and wanted my opinion on a couple things, and I'd like to get yours and hear what's going on. So let me jump into a couple things. I have Bob from Bucks County. We get a lot of Bucks County guys, so hi, Bucks County. A couple guys asked me about the Carissa Thompson issue when that story broke this week. So for everybody who doesn't know, Fox Sports and Amazon Prime Video host Carissa Thompson, she used to be a sideline reporter for NFL games, but this week on the Pardon My Take podcast, Thompson talked about her experience as a sideline reporter and the conversations that she used to have with coaches. Specifically, the incident she brought up was former Lions coach Rob Marinelli. And basically, when she would try to get sideline, you know, tidbits and sound bites, she brought up an issue where at one point she asked him, you know, something that was going on and she wanted a sound bite. And he basically leaned in and was like, wow, that's great perfume. You're pretty. Like things like that. So what she admitted was, I've said this before, so I haven't been fired for saying it, but I'll say it again. I would make up reports sometimes because a coach that wouldn't come out at halftime or was too late, he didn't say anything. So I was like, hey, I don't want to screw up the report. So I'm just going to make this up. I can't hear you. Okay. Yeah, I dropped. Okay, I don't know if you guys, okay, nobody can hear me apparently. I'm going to call back in. Oh, just keep talking. Okay, Mark can't hear me, but maybe you guys can still hear me. So basically, she would say she didn't want to screw up the report, so she was just going to make stuff up. That's what was going on. So a lot of people were a little upset with this, as you can imagine, especially sideline reporters who are out there right now. So it didn't go over well. Now, she's admitted this in the past. This is nothing new. Aaron Andrews went to her defense and was like, yeah, I've done that too. The difference with Aaron Andrews is apparently she has flat out said, like, so-and-so didn't tell me this. I got this from observing. Carissa came back later and said, look, I never made it up. It was just like if a team can't convert on third downs, I would just say they need to do better. Oh, back and forth on this. A lot of people are very upset with this because now she's in the broadcast booth or, you know, she's in studio. A lot of people are very upset. I don't know. So basically everybody's asking me as a female, what do I think of this? I'm torn on this on a bunch of different ways. So this is what I'm saying, Bucks County. I'm upset because I kind of think, look, as a sideline reporter, you're asking these coaches when they're down by, you know, a lot of points, like, hey, what do you need to do better? Obviously, they need to score. So I think sometimes the sideline reporting job is really difficult. But do I think she should have come out and admitted this? Honey, keep that to yourself. Like, you never should have said anything, especially females in this industry. It's really hard, and it's hard just in general. Like, keep your mouth shut. You got a cushy job right now. Why you said this at all and did it this way, I don't know. Like, I just, there's no winners by saying any of this. That's my point. It just, everything is unethical about this. I think maybe she could have worded this better by saying something to the effect of, I didn't always get what I wanted, and people didn't always stop to talk to me. So I have to report on what I observed. Maybe something like that would have been better. But doing it this way, basically it sounds like I'm just a really hot girl on the sidelines and the coaches hit on me. It doesn't come off the way I think she wanted it to. You know what I'm saying, Mark? So
yeah,
I just don't think this went the way she thought it would. And Aaron Andrews coming to her defense, I get it. And her saying, yeah, I've done that before, but then clarifying it. The problem I have is that then Aaron Andrews' team started releasing all the stories about her stalker again and reliving it. And now it just looks really muddy of just have sympathy and look what happened to Andrews is horrible. I would not wish that on anybody. And I'm sure people are going to get mad at me for saying this. But I think the PR machine that followed this story of having sympathy for her and all that crap just once again muddied all of this. It just comes down to like journalism and having ethics, and we can all get on, you know, Adam for, like, the crap he's pulled, and believe me, I could go off on that, but it just, from a female perspective, asking my opinion, it just sounds like you're a hot chick on the sidelines, and the coaches didn't take you seriously, and that's kind of what you're, like, complaining about, instead of just wording it as, sometimes I had a problem, and so I reported what I observed, instead of getting quotes from the coaches. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, and let's face it, you know, in being part of the media, I've always kind of, I don't want to say run from it, but I kind of try to break away from the pack. I remember one time when I was interviewing Barry Bonds, somebody would go, he's not going to give you an interview, and I said, okay, thank you, and I went over and got an interview with him. So I just think a lot of these media people, and I don't want to put them all in generalization, a lot of them are trying to sell fish wrap. They're trying to sell papers. They're trying to sell stuff. A lot of these guys, I would imagine, are single guys, probably living in and out of their car. Who knows? And they're just trying to sell stories and try to, you know, make stories. I'm not saying these girls are, but if you're not getting the real truth behind something, then you should just walk away and say, I didn't get the truth, man, and go back to the station and say, hey, I didn't do my job or whatever. Rather than fabricate something and start putting something in or taking somebody else's quotes and making it your own, I don't know. I just think
yeah,
it's
like
just
I said,
bullish. Yeah.
I just think, like, if you're observing on the sideline, just come clean and be like, coach didn't stop, but this is what I'm seeing, blah, blah, blah. Grab a player, do something else.
Yeah.
But – or there was no need to admit this. Like, don't say you just made it up. Like, I just think this was messy. So Bucks County, that's my take on this. This was just messy. It was something that didn't need to be said. The other things I got was Gallimore is fine. You know, Gallimore was the player that kicked Justin Bihu in the groin last week when Dallas demolished the Giants. He did it in the last 2 minutes. The fine was brought down this week. He was fined $9,700. That is it. He did not get any other disciplinary action. He was not suspended, nothing. Here's the deal with it. Odell Beckham Jr. flashed the peace sign when he ran his touchdown in with the Ravens game last week. He was fined $11,000 for flashing the peace sign.
Right.
Both disciplinary actions were unsportsmanlike conduct. So both got unsportsmanlike conduct. Gallimore went after a player and physically assaulted him, kicked him in the groin, $9,700. Beckham flashed the peace sign, did not hurt anybody, and got an $11,000 fine. Okay, I have a bit of an issue with this. So Dylan in Florida, thank you for bringing this up. Yes, I think there's a huge problem with how they come down with fines. I don't know how you give Gallimore $9,700 and Odell $11,000. I don't – someone explain this to me because I don't see it. So I went in and then did some digging because I'm like, I don't get this.
The problem, Danielle, is that they, you know what? I've seen this.
Please,
the problem with the NBA and the NFL, it almost seems like the fact that it's not black and white no more. It's gray areas.
Nope.
So people get passes. I don't really see this in baseball and hockey, but I see it in basketball and football a lot. I don't know why, but there's gray areas being inserted. And if people say, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, all you got to do is just hear what she just said. You know, I've seen this thing, it doesn't make sense. I've seen a guy thrown out of a league, but yet somebody else commits, you know, 80 assaults in Houston and gets a $230 guaranteed million-dollar contract in Cleveland. I mean, I don't understand this.
Yeah. I don't get it.
And
so I went and I was like,
and I'm not going to sit here and go, yeah, you know what? Don't stand here and tell me to wear a mask in California if you're not wearing a mask in California. We had a governor do that. So, you know what? You can lie, but you know what? The bottom line is, you know what? You can forgive, but we don't forget. And that's the problem here. We're seeing these guys come up and create their own things, and Roger Goodell is just as bad as the guy running the NBA. They're clowns.
I'm disgusted by it. I can't believe that's what it is.
They're clowns.
So I went and I looked, and now it's only this year that they have to make it publicly. They have to give us a list. It's only since September of this year that they have to tell you who was fined each week.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Now, the NFL and the NFLPA get together, and this money is supposed to go to charity. There is still no public record, though, of the charities that this goes to. That's first, okay? Now, an NFL player cannot be fined more than 10% of his game check for the first-time offense, okay? So that's first. And that they can appeal it, and they reduce the fine by 20%, or it can be rescinded. But most of these players don't know how to do that. So there's a lot of things wrong with the fines, but it's also kind of like, yeah, okay, it should be this. Yeah, okay, it should be that. I still don't think that you can't say hitting a player and hitting him in the groin and meaning to do it is the same as somebody flashing the peace sign. Tyreek got this because Tyreek went on X and was like, yo, dude, you're going to get in trouble for that. Like flat out said it to Odell. Yeah, they're going to fine you for that because he was the one doing it and he's taking the fine. So we have an issue with this, and first of all, I want to see the books on where this money is going.
Right.
Now, a player can say, I will write the check, but it needs to go to this charity. But realistically, like, I mean, they said that since 2011, about $4 million a year has been used to support worthy causes. Really? I want to see the books, because I still think some of this is going back to the NFL. I'm sorry, but I do. I don't think all of this is going to charity. Just because we know Goodell, because Goodell went and made a statement this week. He thinks the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce romance is good for the NFL. Really?
My God.
Really? Tell me. I'm not saying the NFL is fixed. I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists. I'm not saying that. But, I'm saying that we're going to start seeing some flex games where Kansas City, if they know Swifty is showing up, well, those games are going to get flexed. That's what I'm saying. So have a good time. But, you know, Goodell is definitely writing some storylines, okay? It's starting to look like the greatest soap opera on primetime. On Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. That's what I'm thinking. So
exactly.
Take it from there. I'm done.
Hey, look, you know what? I wanted to start on the Redskins. And
oh, have fun.
You know, for all these people that keep telling me they're the Commanders, obviously you haven't – you know, shaking the cobwebs out. They've been around 87 years, so they're still the Redskins, and they'll probably still come back as the Redskins with this new ownership group. But the Redskins, and I said this, what a disaster this year, man. Two primetime games, They've been outscored 85-30. They can't beat the Giants. They lost to your team twice. They've lost to the Bears. They get clobbered in Dallas 45-10. I've been saying this for a couple of years now. They need to get rid of Ron Rivera. Now they're starting to, you know, heed the warning on that. This is a big problem in Washington. They need leadership, and they don't have it. And this guy, you know, I know he had health problems, and I don't want to go, you know, down that road because everybody has health problems, and I'm glad he battled back and everything. But this guy simply can't coach worth a damn, and he needs to go. And, you know, just to see this guy on the sidelines and tell me that he's not worried about a job, just relinquish the reins, man. Go. I mean, at least try to save a season. I don't know, 4-8. I mean, you got to run the table now to get in there. And you got San Francisco on that schedule. You got Miami. I mean, the Rams, you're going to be playing. I mean, I don't know, Danielle. This is a bus that's definitely gone off the cliff.
Yeah, it has. It went. I mean, I think right now Sam Howell is, I think he's coming up on David Carr's sack record on the most sacked quarterbacks. It's bad. I originally, before Thursday's game, I know upper management was saying that they would be looking at Rivera as a coach. Like, he was on notice after the season. But what I saw Thursday night, I don't know. I think they got to be looking at that a little bit quicker. I think at this point, the season's pretty much lost. Why not get rid of Rivera? I get there's respect for him and blah, blah, blah. That's great. But give the enemy the reins. Everybody reacts well to him. Just give him the reins and see. Make him the interim coach and just give it off to him. I think the problem is how many interim head coaches become head coaches, like take it over the next season? So I don't know if that's an issue. I'm not sure, but we all know that's why Bieniemy was brought in. So just give him the practice run for the rest of the season. Just like Antonio Pierce, I think he should get the shot at the Raiders. I think he's, you know, whether they've lost or not, I think there's a certain buzz in the stadium and in that locker room. Give it to him. Give him the shot. So I think take the rest of the season, call it a wash. Let's see what the team rallies, if the team rallies around, what he does, and give him the shot. I think that's what, you know, they should be doing right now. You know, what else can I say? I'm not going to get too excited about what the Giants did to the Commanders. I'm really not, because what's there to get excited about? At this point, I'm just looking at it as I'm moving further away from getting a new quarterback with every win. So, once again, whatever on that. You know, there's not much. The Jets finally made a change. Took them long enough. You know, they got trounced by the Bills, 32-6. You know, and at some point, Saleh finally went, you know, maybe this isn't working with Wilson. Oh, you think? And he put Tim Boyle in. Do I think Tim Boyle is the answer? No. No, 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 and no. Did he look okay? I saw him for, 3 minutes? He looked decent, but next to Wilson, what else? The problem is what you saw from Wilson on the sidelines is the same Wilson I saw last year. Petulant and moody. Instead of going to Boyle and looking and trying to help, he sat there with his coat on and his helmet still on, sulking. I didn't see somebody trying to help the new guy out. I saw what I always saw of Wilson, somebody who is not a leader. That's what I saw. I didn't see anybody that learned anything under Rodgers, that went with Rodgers' leadership, his example. I just saw another little petulant little brat. So I hope Boyle does something with this and shows Wilson what it's like. I don't think I'm going to get that, but I really, really hope he does something with it and shows Wilson class, because I did not see anything. I did not see that from Wilson, and that's been my complaint with Wilson from last year. Mark, you and I discussed this. Wilson's a little brat, and that's what I saw. I saw no maturity from him. I don't know how you feel about it, but watching him on the sidelines, he sulked. He sulked the minute he was benched. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you know, there's not much I can add in there. Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, Mass., he's a regular. He basically says a couple things. Dolly Parton but doing the Dallas Cowboy dance there.
Loved it.
Yeah, and he goes, when does the flex schedule start for you, Mancini? The Patriots are playing the Steelers on December 7th. Is that going to be a flex game? And there's two more Monday nights that week. I didn't even know that. Boy,
yeah,
a,
and there are,
yeah, it's crazy.
We're talking about flexing the Giants game as well. That's being discussed right now. As they go through it, they are talking about flexing the Giants game. So I think this is where we start talking about flexing the games. So we could see that coming up, Dalen. I think now is when they're going to do it. So that's definitely a possibility. The Patriots-Steelers game, it's the Steelers. I don't think they're going to flex that, to be 100% honest with you. But if you notice, Week 15, there's a lot of TBDs, so I think that's where we're looking at some flexing. You know, we do have the Ravens-Jaguars on December 17th at 8:20. We have the Chiefs-Patriots December 18th at 8:15. That's where we're getting it. But remember, this is killing me, we also have the Peacock game that is Peacock only to stream, and I believe that might be the Ravens-Jaguars game. One of those games, one of our Monday night games, actually I think it's the 23rd, I take that back. One game on the 23rd, it's the Bills and the Chargers, Peacock only game. You can't get that unless you're on Peacock. So there's a lot of little things that the NFL has done that's making me really upset that you've got to be a subscriber for. So we're going to have a bunch of schedule changes coming up in flex games. But I believe the Chargers, that Chargers game is the Bills-Chargers game on December 23rd is a Peacock-only game. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the schedule.
Wow. Well, you got the things, the Eagles-Niners should be in prime, and I don't know what game is on that
yes.
night, but that should be a prime game, and I don't think it is unless they flex that one.
That should be a flex game. That should be one of the ones.
Yeah, the Bengals and Jaguars are on a Monday night, and I don't know if they can flex that one.
The 49ers-Eagles game should be switched with the Chiefs and the Packers because nobody wants to
right,
see the Chiefs.
Right, but then,
you
got a Monday night game later on in the year, the Bengals and the Jaguars. Without Burrow there.
That could be a good one.
I know the Bengals are kind of hanging
right.
around. I wouldn't mind moving that one out of there.
Yeah.
So that should be an interesting one.
The Ravens 49ers 8:15 on Christmas should be interesting. That's a pretty good one. The Packers and Vikings, they're going to keep that on at 8:20 on the 31st because that's going to have they'll think that'll have implications. I don't think it will, but okay. You know, there's certain the Bengals Brown. Well, that's a TBD still.
Right.
You know, there's a couple things looking at the schedule that could be different. We'll see. Now the flexing will come up, but I think I know there's a Giants. Yeah, the Giants-Packers, December 11th at 8:15. I know they're already talking about flexing that because you have the Eagles-Cowboys, December 20th at 8:20. That one is sticking. But December 11th, the same time, 8:15, you have the Titans-Dolphins. So there's some things going on here. I know that's been mentioned to flex the Packers-Giants game. That they've already talked about because Mara's already having a connection. And he's already made some comments about it. I think the
Yeah, we
got to
get Albert and Poway about the Carissa mm-hmm. Thompson deal.
Yes.
It's unbelievable how pretty faces like that can still keep their job. If it was anybody else, they'd be shown the door. It looks like the sideline reporters have gray areas as well. Boy, brings up an interesting point, Danielle. And, yeah, you know, you it's, you know, I like Carissa Thompson, and you know, I think she's a good reporter, but, you know, when you do something like this, your credibility just comes right out the window. It just gets shot, and it takes a long time
to
get up a mountain.
It does, but at the same point, nobody's brought it up. She has been taking a task on it. She still has a job. You know, the NFL had a media conference the other day, a call. Nobody brought it up. So I think it's just going to get swept under the rug, and that's going to be that. Speaking of which, I got somebody out in Pasadena, Joe in Pasadena, asked me about the Manning cast and Mark Wahlberg. He's been taking a task on it. I watched it. It was horrific. He was muttering under his breath the whole time. He is still salty about Eli and the Patriots. Manning brothers, don't have him back on. What was the point of that?
Oh, God.
I mean, he looked bored out of his mind. He looked like he didn't want to be there the whole time. He's muttering. He's looking off camera. Every time they were, oh, boy, you guys have a lot of commercials. Boy, you guys ask a lot of questions. The whole joke about, hey, we're supposed to get on, you know, Peyton, he couldn't go with any skit. Don't have him back
right on.
I mean, really, he has a movie coming out. I don't even, it was so funny. The next day I saw his advertisement for his new Apple. I looked at my husband. I said, I don't even want to watch it. He was such a jerk. And he was so clear that he just doesn't like Eli that I'm like, you know, they showed like one of his old Calvin Klein pictures and he rolled his eyes, and then they showed like Peyton next to him. And they were like, which one's the model? And he couldn't even get in on the joke. At that point, it's past your bedtime, Marky Mark. Go back to bed. Go back to bed.
Great.
Like, what is your point? I get that you did a movie, a football movie, umpteen years ago. I don't care. Like, I just, there was somebody else you could have gotten on. Anybody else. You had Condoleezza Rice, for God's sake, on your show. What was this? What is this Charles Johnson wannabe thing? Like,
exactly.
So,
well,
so I totally
it's like
agree.
It's like the Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if they're in bed at the same point, too. It just seems like that's the only guy Pat McAfee can always interview.
No,
unbelievable.
He pays Aaron Rodgers. That came out. He pays Aaron to be on that show, and that's why he gets the scoop from Aaron. But next time, skip Marky Mark, please, or play. Please do me a favor and play Good Vibrations when he comes on. Really piss him off, and I will pay to watch that episode. But just skip him next time and get somebody who actually wants to be on your show, Mannings, because you can get anybody. Just skip him. It was disgusting to watch.
Exactly. Hey, we've come down to the closing act of this thing. I need a sure shot, and don't be surprised of this weekend, and then I'll give you mine.
I'm going to say Baltimore over the Chargers, and I think Arizona can take the Rams. Don't be surprised if Arizona goes and beats the Rams.
Wow, great minds must think alike, because those were the two games I wanted to jump on, too.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm going to go, don't be surprised if the Chargers pull one on the Ravens with all the problems they've had. And
good one. Okay.
The sure shot is the Rams are going to kill Arizona. That's what I think.
Ooh.
I really think that, yeah.
Okay, we're going opposite sides on that one.
Yeah. We're going, you know, because I think the Chargers know what's at stake. Their season could just slip away here in a hurry. I think they pull one against the Ravens, and should be interested. I will tell you, in a couple weeks, we won't, you know, probably before Christmas, we're going to have a guy that works for the Baltimore Ravens on this show. So I'm going to work. Yeah. Gonna work that deal for us. Talking to him next week. And so that should be an interesting one. You think I hate your Giants? Wait till I get to going with this guy with his Ravens.
Killing me, Mark.
Yeah. It should be interesting. I wanted to throw that surprise in. Also, for all you listeners that make us a part of your Fridays, just take note that Christmas week we will be off, taking a break. Everybody needs one, so we get to everybody, all the talents off that week. So till then, hey, Danielle, let everybody know about your great show on Fridays before this one, and you got Comic-Con coming and stuff.
Yeah, Yes, on Fridays at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, I am talking with my great author friend, C.R. Rice, Novel Beginning. We go through an author's reality into the end, kind of pull the curtain back on the publishing world. And then next week, I will be at GalaxyCon Columbus. So if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, and you want to take a drive down to the convention center, come see me from December 1st through the 3rd at the pop-up bookshop. We can talk football. We can talk whatever you want. You can make fun of my Giants. I'll take it on the chin. And then, you know, come by, see me. And then you can reach out to me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, and we can talk about all the news that goes on during the week. I would love it.
Well, say hi to all those Ohio State Buckeye fans. They'll be holding their heads after Michigan hammers them tomorrow. For Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, so blessed to do this show with her. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Have a blessed weekend.